This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Listening to Jax
and Dean
on our podcast.
This is our podcast.
It is our. I've just said that, Dean.
This is our podcast.
Oh, it's still our podcast now. That's cute. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Play the podcast, please.
Joy War. Jack and Dean. Joy War.
Joining us in the studio, as we do it this time every week, is the team from KHQ Lawyers. And joining us this week, someone we haven't seen for a while, is Jack. Welcome back, Jack.
Hello, Dean.
Good to see you again. Now, last week, Jack, we spoke about, we've been following a relationship. We've been following Sam and Joe, a non-gender-specific couple. Maybe they're same sex, maybe they're not. But they've fallen in love. And last week, we spoke about the importance of having a will. Even in the early stages of love, it's very important to have a will. Now, today we're going to go a bit deeper. We're going to talk about death. And taxes. This should be fun.
Yeah, indeed.
So tell us, Dr. Death, what should we know about death?
Well, as we all know, it's inevitable.
Mm.
And what we need to do is to plan for the inevitable.
Yes.
So apart from the will, there's a lot of procedural points to think about. In our example, if Sam dies and he or she had all the assets in her name, the loss is palpable in a good relationship, obviously. But what Joe wants then is all the assets in Sam's name to go into her name.
Yes.
Now, the will is the first step. And once we get the will, a person called the legal personal representative, executors, apply for probate. And that document, once it's approved and ratified by the court, allows the title to, let's say, the home, car, shares, investments, whatever, to go into Joe's name.
So is probate a noun or a verb? Is probate something you do, or is it a actual thing, a document?
I hadn't prepared for that one, but it's probably both.
I hear it all the time. I hear people talk about doing probate, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. It really refers to a grant of probate, which is an official process by the courts. And it's used interchangeably as a noun and a verb, I guess.
Right. So if you don't have a will, you still have to go through probate?
You do a slightly different process.
Right.
Without a will, you make some lawyer much wealthier by making them apply for, prepare letters of administration, go through a whole procedure.
Wow.
You may have to, that person may have to post a bond so they won't run off with the money to satisfy the court. And it's... In a time of calamity when you lose your partner,
yes,
having all this legal rigmarole and extra cost and expense is certainly something that should be avoided and can be avoided by preparing a proper will.
As you say, losing a loved one can be quite traumatic and it's obviously a very sad time. So to have your wits about you, to know how to do all this, is quite challenging.
Yeah, so the point is it's best when there's no death or illness on the horizon to actually begin the process. The other factor I think that's not really well understood is our laws in this area aren't getting any simpler. And as we move into our 50s, 60s and beyond, and sadly sometimes younger people are affected by Alzheimer's and dementia, they lack the capacity and the ability to understand the complexities of what needs to happen in doing an effective will.
Sometimes if a party has a power of attorney, does that change? Does that make it more complex or
great
does it make
point.
It easier?
Great point, Dean. There are two general spheres of power of attorneys. One, a general, which can be revoked at any time. But if that's what you've given your partner, and in this instance, Sam has given Joe a general power of attorney, when Sam loses their marbles, excuse that expression, it's useless. So Sam needs to give Joe an enduring power of attorney.
An enduring power of attorney is different to just a power of attorney?
Yeah, so that lasts when Sam, who's given Joe the power of attorney, is affected mentally by Alzheimer's.
Wow, there's so much to think about.
Oh, look, it goes on. And it's best done when you're healthy and everything's the way it should be.
Everything's tickety-boo and everything's happy.
Yep.
Get your affairs in order.
Yep.
You're with Jack and Dean for the Tuesday Drive Home. Here we are chatting about... we're talking to the team from KHQ Lawyers. We've got Jack in the studio. We're talking about death and taxes, which is a very cheerful subject, so close to Christmas.
Indeed.
But in fact, it's very important to have these conversations with your loved ones before you get to a situation of calamity or trauma, when someone perhaps does... perhaps is vulnerable or perhaps isn't in a state to make decisions around their estate.
Yeah, and... the earlier that happens, usually the better, because there's so much to consider at various levels.
Now, we're going to go a bit dark now. So our couple, Sam and Joe, who we met a couple of weeks back, fell in love. They talked about being de facto. They talked about moving in together. Now we're talking about death and taxes. So unfortunately, one of them's got to go.
Yep.
For our narrative. It's just for narrative purposes. Next week, they'll be back again. But for this week, who are we knocking off?
Sadly, Sam dies.
Oh, poor Sam.
Joe's left.
Right.
Fortunately, they've got a will.
Oh, good. That's good news.
But unfortunately, Sam has been less forthcoming in his business affairs than he ought to have been.
Oh.
And Jo's left with all her distress and worry, and she becomes the executor of Sam's will.
Right.
And applies for probate, and Julie gets it. So what's involved next? Well, basically, Jo... As Sam's executor, has to file the last tax return from the 1st of July to the day of Joe's death.
It's hard to lodge my own tax return, let alone lodging the tax return for somebody else. Can't you say that?
Yeah, you can. And many people go to an accountant or tax agent to do it because it's too complicated. However, in this example, let's scale up the degree a little bit, and it's not that uncommon. Sam... in this example, ran a successful cafe.
Right.
And paid a lot of people in cash and received a lot of cash. And as a consequence, not all the cash that came in went into the till.
Oh, hello.
Hmm. So in this instance, it puts Joe in a position. Joe may or may not know about it. But if she... files the tax return without checking all of Sam's affairs, the tax department can still audit Sam's affairs even though he's dead. And the big takeout from this is, if Joe doesn't take reasonable steps to check out Sam's tax affairs as Sam's legal personal representative and executor, guess who pays the tax bill?
The survivor.
Yeah.
This is complex.
Well, it gets... If I can just add another layer, let's say Sam and Joe had some children.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe handed over the assets to the beneficiaries in the will. And let's say in this example, Joe was independently wealthy and
right.
she wanted Sam's assets to go to the kids. Now, if she gets a tax assessment from the ATO...
Yeah.
And she's handed over Sam's assets to the kids. She can't go back to the kids and say, oh, look, oops, the tax department's come after me for Sam's liabilities. Give me back the money. Because once it leaves her hands and goes to the kids, she can't get it back.
But you could ask nicely, though.
You could ask
but
very nicely.
But they're not obliged to give it back is the point, yeah?
I think that in most circumstances, it'd be difficult to get it back because... Perhaps it's because lawyers see a lot of these instances. The beneficiaries don't always get on. Not all siblings get on.
Yes.
And there are all sorts of political issues that can...
And you do hear stories of once people have passed away, sometimes families can get a little bit tetchy.
It's this old argument, Sam promised me this, or
yes.
Joe promised me that, and I've missed out. It gets quite chaotic.
So get it in writing, yeah?
Yeah.
So basically with death and taxes, dying does not negate your tax debt.
Yeah, so there's a general rule. When Sam's assets pass to the beneficiaries, if it's a simple transfer of the house or the assets from the deceased to the beneficiaries, there's an exemption under the capital gains tax provisions in Division 128 that says that there's no tax at that point.
Right.
The tax comes later in the examples I've given where... Joe, as the executor, gets pummeled by the ATO, saying to her, "You're the executor, you should have withheld money for Sam's past tax debts, and you didn't do it." The key issue and takeout is that Joe, as an executor, must get professional advice.
I tell you what, as you said, I think if somebody asked me to be an executor of a will, I think I'd have to think twice. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think I need to get expert advice on supporting me to discharge my duties.
Dean, it's really important that unless you're totally confident about the deceased and what they did or didn't do with their assets, if you're going to accept the appointment for whatever reason, do so carefully. Don't hand any money over to the beneficiaries until you've satisfied yourself there's nothing owing to the tax department, because as night follows day, they'll come after you.
Wow. On that cheerful note, thank you very much, Jack.
My pleasure.
We look forward to speaking to the team from KHQ Lawyers again next week. And, of course, if you do want to catch up on any of the story of Sam and Joe, you can download our podcasts at joy.org.au. Thanks very much, Jack.
Thank you.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.